You found the Love Fly podcast. I'm Paul Tizard, Fear of Flying Coach, and I've been helping nervous flyers since 1997. So in this podcast, you are going to find aviation experts, psychologists, coaches, enthusiasts, and people normal, just like you, who have overcome their fears. Welcome. Welcome to the Love Fly podcast, and this week we are joined by the amazing Ali Murphy. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. And we're going to be talking about your podcast, which we don't normally promote other podcasts unless they are really good and linked to sort of stuff that people might be interested who, you know, from the Love Fly group. So I'm really pleased to be, and also yours is coming out very week that we're going to talk about it. So I think that's very timely. So Ali Murphy, tell us a bit about yourself, and then we'll tell us all about this podcast that you've got coming up.
Sure. My name's Ali. I'm a British expat living in Seattle in the USA. I used to be a flight attendant for 14 years back in the UK, flying long haul international, and then I took redundancy in 2016, and now I'm a full time voice actor. So complete switch of careers, but yeah, here I am now. And you know, during my flying time, I just had some incredible experiences that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't managed to get out and explore the world. And last year sometime I was writing these memories down so I can tell my son when he's older, and I've probably forgotten some stuff, and I realized I just had so many stories that I really wanted to share. So here I am, and I now have a podcast sharing these stories.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. So Ali and I met through Not Just Crew during the pandemic. Simon and Trevor set up this the Not Just Crew, which has grown to a Facebook group of about 12,000 people now, which I can't believe it. And Ali was one of the presenters on that. And I knew that you had, because your voice is so good, I thought there must be some other gift going on here. And you know, it turns out you're a proper voice actor. So it doesn't surprise me that you've been able to make a career out of it, because that's fabulous. Tell us a little bit about the podcast, who you're doing it with. Maybe could we even get a couple of sneaky stories, or would that be giving away the goods?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, I started writing my own memories down last year, and I'm not the most, you know, prolific writer. I was sort of writing, okay, and then this happened. And I wanted to be able to, when I wanted to share them, I thought, well, I'm not a storyteller that can write these things down. I use my voice, but I don't necessarily have the skills to write a story. So I connected with a fantastic writer, and who used to be cabin crew as well. So she kind of understands the stories and the background. And she's been great. She's written all of my memories down, and then we started speaking to other people, and it started expanding. And now I've got so many stories from people like all over the world, from flight attendants, pilots, passengers. I'm speaking to somebody next week from the complaints department of an airline in America. So I think that would be.
Oh yeah, they must have some stories, mustn't they? Crikey.
Yeah. And I just realized there's just so many great stories that all stem from this industry where we travel the world and come across people from different cultures and backgrounds. And when you get out there and explore, you just end up with these incredible, extraordinary stories. And, you know, there's things that I would tell at dinner parties when someone finds out what you used to do. Oh, did anything ever happen? Did you ever have any good stories or any strange passengers? Like, you always have these stories that you come out with. So these are the things that are going to come out in the podcast. But what the twist on it is, they're all true stories. But my writer has put that little fictional design, the style of, speech and stuff. So they're short audio stories. So they're just great little, if you want a 20-minute escape, put the podcast on and listen to a little story of one of our extraordinary tales, which are true, but we've obviously changed a few details to protect the
innocent. Yes, of course. So you cabin crew for 16 years. What made you go into 14 years?
No, no, it's fine.
It doesn't matter, really. Well, it seemed to matter to you, you know. It doesn't matter, but it's get it right. Why were you drawn to being crew to begin with?
Well, I was an actor when I was a teenager, and that was all I ever wanted to do, was be in the acting industry. And I wasn't getting as many jobs. I was slightly overweight as a early 20s, late teens woman. And it was the early 90s. Oh, no, not the early 90s. It was the late 90s where everything was, everybody was really thin. Do you remember
that? Yes. Yeah.
Thick, thin.
Ridiculous, yes.
Very, very beautiful, very slim women. And that just wasn't my body type. So I was getting told time after time that I wasn't beautiful enough, I wasn't the right shape. And in being 20, I was kind of going for the lead characters, you know, the romantic leads and stuff. So there was a guy in my acting class who, he came to class 1 week and he said, oh, I can't come next week because he flew for Britannia as his day job. And he said, I've got to go to Orlando for 5 days. And I thought, well, that sounds lovely, because I couldn't think what else. My acting was drying up. I was doing sort of temp work as a secretary in different offices, and it wasn't giving me that buzz, that thrill that I wanted from my life. So I thought, why don't I try being crew for a bit, and then I'll come back to acting when it doesn't matter how old I am, and I can be a character actor rather than a young romantic lead. And I ended up staying for 14 years because I just loved it. Just loved going around the world and meeting all these different people and experiencing things that I never would have experienced if I'd stayed, trying to just be an actor.
Well, it's that's a fair amount of service, isn't it? Where were your favourite places or favourite aircraft or favourite things? Let's do favourite things. You can answer that.
These are a few of my favourite things. Yeah.
And she's off. She's off.
I'm off. Don't get me started. I did musical theatre for 2 years. I loved the States for some reason, which is handy because I live here now. But I loved, and I think it kind of goes back to my days of being wanted to be an actor. But I loved LA. I would always rent a car in LA, and I'd drive along the coast and just feel like I was just living this different life.
Yeah.
Go hiking in the hills. And I would always be one that would go out and explore no matter where I went. So even if it was just a one night Sydney, I'd be out. I'd be exhausted, but I'd be like, no, I'm going to go see a beach.
One night Sydney. Oh my goodness, that just sounds like.
Yeah, well, it was two night Hong Kong, one night Sydney, two night Hong Kong and back, I think.
Oh my goodness. So you basically just, you're gone forever.
Yeah. It was a 9-day trip, but I think you only got like 5 nights in a bed, which was wow.
Yes.
It was hard. But I liked America. I liked that America's so diverse in a weird way, because I know it's kind of famous for not being very diverse in sometimes, but the landscapes, I would go hiking in Utah, or I'd go skiing in California, and I kind of love just exploring that part of the world.
Yeah, I love the States too. I love the fact that you've got different time zones and completely different weather systems, and you can do the beach stuff, you can do the skiing stuff, all in the same country. You know, it's just very much like England.
I live in Washington State now, and so Washington State, we are famous for rain, right? Seattle, everyone knows rain. It rains in Seattle all the time. But that's only just the small part of it. The state is humongous. Sorry, just hit my microphone. The state is humongous. On the left-hand side where we are, it is mountains and lakes and pine trees and rain. But I only have to drive like an hour over the Cascade Mountains, and it's desert, like actual desert, tumbleweed and everything.
Really?
It's just, it's crazy. You can go over the desert. If it's raining in Western Washington, just hop over the mountains and you've got some desert sunshine over there. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, I mean, I can see.
Maybe an hour is over exaggerating. Maybe.
Well, you know, hours. But it's good for the story. You know, you shouldn't let the facts get in the way of a good story. You know?
That's exactly what I should be doing, because that's what my podcast is about. It's all true.
It's all true, yeah. So 14 years, as we've been corrected, of flying around, doing all the stuff. Love the States. Favorite aircraft type?
My favorite whilst I was there was usually the Boeing 747, but only if I was working upstairs. But then as towards the end of my career, it was the 787 I really liked. So I thought, yeah, it's still better on a 787. It was a beautiful aircraft to work on and a really nice crew rest area, which is something I love to enjoy.
Yes, it's always important. So you're not a, you're a Boeing more than an Airbus type person, are you? Is that what vibe I'm getting?
I am. I think so, yeah. I guess I am, you know.
What does that say about you? Anything?
No, nothing, no. Probably just lazy, because on the Airbus, there was less likely that you were going to get crew rest. And it was so long. The 600 was so long, wasn't it?
Yes.
Really, yeah, you know, you had a lot. But there's a lot more passengers on the 78 and 747.
That's true. So, you know,
first experiences and nostalgia and everything like that.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. I think I like the, I like both. I preferred the Airbus mainly because when I first trained on it, there weren't so many. It was fairly new. And we were doing all the Hong Kongs and the Naritas, all those long routes. And I love that.
Yeah,
so it was, And only half the passengers as well, because we had all that trouble. There was some sort of rerouting thing going on, so they could only take 80 passengers. So you had like 300 seats and 80 passengers in them, which was just brilliant.
Oh, that's delightful.
Not that we hated people. We love people. But obviously.
It's so nice. Even as a passenger, if you get on board a plane and you've got three seats to yourself, you can lie down. You can get some rest. You can like not get all cramped up. So I love a little light load so you can lie down.
Yeah, exactly. Those are great. So that's it. So we've got sent to your favourites. Then we've got favourite destination, favourite airlines, favourite aircraft types. And just because people listen to this and, you know, we've got some people who are still nervous flyers, a mixture of people listen. What would you say makes commercial flying so safe? Just, you know, because you've done it, run the front line, lived it 14 years. Does it ever worry you? Do you ever think all turbulence or anything like that? Should I shut up?
I think, no, I think we're all human. And as humans do, we all have our own individual worries and fears. And I know I've known cabin crew that have come from places where they used to hate flying, but then their point of view changed. And vice versa as well, that they used to fly all the time and now they hate flying. So I think it's just acknowledging that you have that you are a human, and then getting as much knowledge as you can about it. That always helped me if I was ever feeling nervous, just finding out as much as I can about why this was making this noise or that was feeling like this. That always helped me, because I feel like the lack of control is a big factor. But if you have the knowledge, then you have a little bit more say in how you're feeling about it. It's not irrational. You can go, right, okay, that doesn't feel great and I wish that wasn't happening, but I know it's because the aircraft is flexing right now because it's going through this wind section and it's perfectly safe. So I'd say knowledge is the key when it comes to fear.
Yeah, because you would have had a lot of people on your flights who would have had a fear of flying. You would have had to reassure them and stuff. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I was made a point of that. If there was anybody who was nervous on board, I know a lot of crew do this, would make sure that they just keep on checking in. And if you've got any questions, is there anything you'd like me to ask the pilot? Is there any? You do what you can just to make people feel comfortable. With long haul flights as well, it's really hard to stay full of fear for that long. So if you can have any way that you can relax and get on board, watch a movie or read a book or do something that is good for your soul, then it's going to make things go a lot easier, because it's a long time to not feel good.
Yeah, it is. So I was wondering, you know, with all this talking about flying, particularly with your new podcast and stuff, has it made you kind of pine for your cabin crew days, or was that a very closed chapter?
It's funny, because it is a closed chapter for me. I have no desire to go back, mainly because I love what I do now so much. And whilst that was an incredible chapter of my life and I've got incredible stories from it and it shaped who I am today, I'm also really enjoying this part of my life now. So,
yes.
I've got no desire to go back, but I fully appreciate how what it gave me in that time.
Yeah, well, you know, there's been a couple of people I used to do the school run with. One of them has joined flying. I think she joined at 54 or 55, went to British Airways. She's loving it. It's gone part-time now, so it's like best job. And I literally don't know how she does it. We had her on the podcast. It's a mother and daughter, both fly for BA, which I thought was pretty cool. They often do some flights together, yeah, which is cute. But so I was knackered when I do it in my 20s. God knows how she does it in her 50s, because I'd just be wiped out. I don't know about you. I'd just be completely exhausted.
I used to be, tired, but I think I got used to the tiredness. But actually, last week, I nipped back to the UK for a couple of days because my brother was in a show and I really wanted to go see him. So I took a flight and I was there literally 48 hours. And when I came back, I thought, how on earth did I used to do this all the time?
And work there and back.
And work. Yeah, I just sat down and watched movies and played on my laptop for 10 hours. But this time it was, oh my goodness, yeah. I don't know how I did it.
No,
I did more.
Yeah, maybe. I think I was like walking dead, basically. I just think when I'd come back and it'd take me about a day just to be able to manage communication again. And then by which time, the next day I'd be normal and then you'd be off flying away somewhere else. You know, so, yeah, exhausting.
You just get used to it. You must just get used to it. But oh gosh, yes, do it again.
So tell us about this podcast then, and maybe just, tell us a little sneaky story. Yeah, it was a little sneaky story, maybe, I've been watching your reels on Instagram and also on Facebook. So you need to tell us everywhere that people can watch and listen to you. Make sure you plug the hell out of it, and we'll do the same, in the contenty bit. But yeah, tell us about the Red Eye podcast, where the name came from. I don't know the name, but how did you come up with it? It's good. It's a good name.
Yeah, the Red Eye, it came to me. There was a few things I was trying out for a little while, like Galley FM, which is what we would call, if you're gossip in the galley, you'd say it's Galley FM. But
that's right.
There was a few names I was coming up with, but then when I sat down and said, right, what is this podcast about? And I said, it's the stories that we tell each other in the middle of the night when we're trying to keep each other awake. And, oh, gosh, this passenger I had last week, or, oh, what I did on my last trip. And so it's the middle of the night. And, that's it's an American expression, the red eyes. It's the late middle of the night flights and stuff like that. But yeah, it was just, I don't know, I kind of became the Red Eye because it was the stories that I tell it. You tell each other in the middle of the night.
That's a good thing.
Tired. Because I probably had red eyes for the first 14 years that I was flying, just from being so tired.
Exactly, yeah. So you had all these stories, and each of these episodes would be one a week, would be about 20 minutes, and you're going to narrate them, I assume, as the award-winning voice over actor.
Well, I don't know what to say, but they're about 20 minutes, and they're done in the style of an audiobook. So it's a short audio story done in the style of an audiobook with a bit of sound design as well, which has been a lot of fun doing that. And each story is true. They're not all my stories. I have interviewed people, and I still am interviewing lots of incredible people, passengers as well, passengers and air traffic control and cabin crew and pilots and stuff. And they're telling me their stories. We're changing a few details, so especially people that still work for the airlines, we do need to protect their identities and the airlines' reputations and stuff like that. Not that there's nothing against their reputations, but things like the first three episodes, for example, is one about a passenger who took too many sleeping tablets on a flight and went a bit beyond their they were not acting normally, let's just say. So that's the first episode. Second is it's called Baby on Board, and it's about a medical situation on board. Mm-hmm. And the third one is about a room party. So I kind of covered all of the not all of them, some of the topics there that I'm talking about. It's just all those incredible stories that you got as cabin crew, the incredible downroute experiences, the funny stories that you get from people in the air, and then the real things that cabin crew are so trained for that you don't realize. So I think a lot of people, if some of the medical situations in particular happened on the ground, people would freeze and not know what to do. But cabin crew are so highly trained that they can deal with it in the air at 38,000 feet. So I wanted to highlight sort of the awesome training that crew have and things that they can do as well.
That's good.
Well, and they, And then there's some, it's been great actually, because I've been chatting to people and it's more has materialized since I've been talking about this podcast. And in fact, I did a little short video, the ones you're talking about, I was doing a short video a couple of weeks ago about ghosts on board, because I've heard a few people tell me these stories where they've like, oh yeah, this guy came up to me and said, can you just go talk to that passenger and tell them okay? And it turns out that that person just actually deceased and in the hold in a coffin, and they wanted their family members to know they're okay. I've heard that story a few times.
Yes.
It's been in the newspaper as well. And then this guy messaged me who used to be crew, and he said, I flew with him. He was a friend of mine. And he said, I have a very similar story. Do you want to chat to me about it? And he told me about this story. I've interviewed him and I will release that as an episode as well, where he saw a ghost on board the aircraft. And then a few months later, he was chatting to a friend of his, and it turns out she'd seen the exact same vision on the same aircraft in the hold area where the crew rest area is. So it's, these fascinating stories.
Oh my God, I'm glad I hear them now rather than when I was working on board.
When you're working on board, you're too tired to care. Well, if there is a ghost here, he's going to have to just be quiet.
Yeah. Take his crew rest like everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So do you think there's anything in the stories that will alarm nervous flyers, or do you think it's all fairly harmless?
I think most of the stories are fairly harmless. They're just the stories that happen in the day. It's usually passenger interactions or crew interactions that are the stories downroute fun. Although I have been interviewing a few passengers that have had extraordinary incidents on board, but I will be putting a warning out before those episodes, so that if anybody is nervous about flying, they can choose not to listen if they want to. But just so everybody knows, all the stories I do have, everyone is fine.
Yes,
it all ended fine. But obviously, if it's something that you just don't want to listen to, then that warning out for you.
Oh, that's amazing. So the podcast is released this week. So to give us a bunch of details, the release date, what to search for, where you can find you, you know, what platforms, etc. Go for it.
Right. Well, it was released March 5th. So we're very, very new. The first three episodes are out, and then it'll be one a week. You can find them anywhere that you find your podcasts. But if you go onto the website, www.theredeyepod.com, there's links there to where you can find what your favorite podcast platform is on. On our website as well, you can also sign up to a monthly newsletter just to get a bit of behind the scenes once a month. And on social media, we're at The Red Eye Pod. Come and join us. On YouTube, nice. I do these extra short videos. So I do these little things that aren't part of the podcast, but they're related, where I try and just do some comedy sketches about some of the more extraordinary passenger.
And you've got, and is that called the same? Is it, called The Red Eye Podcast?
That's The Red Eye Podcast, yeah, on YouTube.
And listen, folks, you've got to watch some of it. I was saying to Ali before we started that I've watched a few of them and I proper laughed out loud. Because Ali, she's very modest, but she does all these different voices, puts on like wigs and got, you know, it's just brilliant. And so I guess, I've seen the range of your talent, the faces really made me chuckle. So you've got to have a look at those as well. And I really recommend that you do a bit like The Archers, you know, like it's a radio program, but can watch it, you know. Maybe we would quite like to see Ali Murphy going through her paces, doing all the different voices and stuff. If you haven't thought about that, very watchable. So
I could sell it to streaming.
You could, yeah. So what's the ambition then? So you've got these coming out, obviously got loads of stories coming up. Where do you in your sort of like dream of dreams, where do you think it'll end up?
Yes. Dream of dreams would be literally, to sell it to something like Amazon Prime or Netflix or someone and make a series out of it. Because I think they've tried to do it before, like talking about flight attendants, but it's not the right focus. And I think what is spectacular about people who travel a lot for work is just the amount of opportunity for stories that shape them. It's just, it grows than if you were staying in one place at one time. You just become across more people and you come across more diverse experiences. So I think having a show would be great. Like, yeah, having a little series where we could show the different extraordinary things that happen to flight attendants. I think that would be my absolute dream. But let's just, you know, we've only just started. So
yes. Okay. Well, it'd be nice. It'd be interesting. I will put a shout out in places and we'll ask for some feedback. So if anybody starts to listen to them, then anything like that, I'll pass it on to you. Because I think this is a really great idea. Yeah, I think it's a really great idea. And what I particularly like is that the stories are true and not silly. So some of the things I've seen where it involves cabin crew stories just make me cringe, you know. And anything involving aeroplanes that, unfortunately, Hollywood brings out, they're nearly always incorrect. And I'm just thinking, no wonder people are scared of flying because the nonsense they put on here. And then when they portray like crew doing their jobs and stuff, it's always just like, oh, it's not like that, you know. So it's just lovely to hear what you'll be doing will be accurate, true stories, but just told with a slight, you know, humorous twist.
Yeah, fictional twist on them all. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Ali Murphy, I wish you and your co-writer the very, very best with this. I think it's going to be fun and I'm looking forward to listening to myself. And I will be watching your reels because they are brilliant. So keep doing those, please, because they're, you know, it's a bit of entertainment as well for me. And if nothing else, just think about me watching that laughing, you know. And I'm not a laugh out loud kind of guy normally, but they're just really good. So thank you. And thank you for your time. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Love Fly podcast. I hope you're finding it helpful with your fear of flying. Now, if you do need some extra tailored help, you can go to our website, lovefly.co.uk, and click on the courses button. You'll find more help there, such as our 30-day program and our on-demand webinar. Thanks again. See you next time.